Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Are you really ready?
I am really ready.
All right.
Whoa.
I think we're ready.
And welcome to our podcast. This is
Sid Caesar.
We're gonna do that over.
No, we're going.
All
we're
right.
going.
I am photographer Sid Caesar,
and I am designer Dave Say.
And today is May 12th, 2011.
I believe it is.
Lovely sunny day out.
Beautiful
there.
Beautiful day.
Today it is. I rode my scooter today.
Oh, you did.
This scooter is out of storage.
Nice. My scooter's still in pieces.
Yeah, you gotta put that thing back together.
I know.
I did.
The carburetor scares me.
Ugh. You should get a hold of Ben. He said he'd give you a hand.
And that's right. That's right.
Looking at it.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
can't be that scary. I mean, I would never take mine apart, but...
Well, the whole point of getting a cheap Chinese scooter in the first place was so I could take it apart and see how it worked. But now I'm just too lazy to put it back together again.
But just think of all the riding you're missing.
Yeah.
It was an awesome ride today.
Well, I'm not really looking forward to it because the scooter's so underpowered and so unreliable.
But it could be something that could be easily fixed since it's already apart and in many pieces.
It could be. It can only get better from
exactly
this
point. Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's so nice out there.
And I have space in the my downstairs area now that I can put it together now since I moved my office upstairs.
The Dave Cave.
Yeah, the Dave Cave.
Yeah. So mine's all, I gave it an oil change the other day and what else did I do to it? And then I changed a spark plug and
nice.
I just changed the air filter this morning before I came
you
here.
You are very handy.
I am. I'm like handy scooter guy right here because it's very small, easy, simple things to do.
Yeah. You need a very, very tasteful mod jacket that has an umbrella.
I know. I keep wanting one of those little bullet point, like the little circle, the little Italia circles, the green, white and red.
Why don't you have one?
I don't know, because I don't have any money to buy a jacket right now.
And we could just make a patch.
That's true. We could.
How hard could that be? I've never made a patch before.
I don't think it's that hard.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We probably know people who can help us with that.
Scooter.
Yeah. So, what's going on, man?
What do we got going on?
You got that workshop coming up in Exeter?
I'm doing a private workshop this weekend for the Seacoast Photographer Group.
Wow.
That are out of Exeter and Portsmouth.
Sounds very important.
It is. I did it once before. I did it in October of last year.
Nice.
And it went really, really well. We had my friend Kelly Kipperman, who is a musician. She was our model for the day. I think it was probably the longest one that we've done. Like, it went well into after sundown. Like, we were shooting when it was clearly, like, completely black outside.
Uh-huh.
And then afterwards, like, some people left, and then other people were like, well, let's go get something to eat. So I don't think I left Exeter until close to midnight.
Wow.
That night. So it was a really good night. So they got enough people between, like, the feedback from last year, we've got enough people to do it again.
That is fantastic.
It's awesome. So we're going to go up on Saturday of this weekend, 2 days from now.
Nice.
So I'm just getting all the gear ready in the studio.
Very cool.
Yes. And then I have another one, out of the studio. On May 28th, which is 2 weekends from now.
All right, I got the dates wrong on that. So your Exeter workshop is this weekend.
Yes.
21st?
No, 14th.
14th?
The 14th.
What day is it? Oh, it's the 12th.
Today's
right.
the 12th. Okay. Yeah. So the Exeter workshop's on the 14th, and then my next one out of the studio is on the 28th, and there's already some signups for that. But we had the first one back in April 30th, a couple of weekends ago.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first one. It went really well. It was gorgeous outside. We did a bunch of outside shooting, and then Sarah let us into the church that she works part-time at in Nashua. So we did some shooting actually in the chapel, and that came out really, really nice.
That's all the pictures up on Flickr?
Yeah, so I put some on Flickr, and I put some on my Facebook page. So they got it was good, because they like that, because they had all the beautiful colors of the chapel, and then they learned how to balance ambient light with
that must have been great.
With their flash. Yeah, they were pretty happy with that. They were like, oh, my God. They went in, and they saw all the stained glass, everything. They got all excited.
Uh-huh. So that was the same day that the Honey Air Trio was.
That was exactly. And I went in. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because we were waiting for you.
Yeah.
He says, where is he? He's missing out on the honey.
I'm a teaching. That's right. That's right. We got to see our friends.
He goes, like, Sarah got there before you did, so we were talking, and we were just watching, like, the sky outside, like, turn that color that you waited for.
Yeah.
So it's like, this, he can't leave now. That's the perfect color. This is when he wraps it up, and this is where he hits them with, like, and you can do stuff like this. No! Give him like I'm taking these grapes. Yeah, so.
Hadouken to the gut.
Yeah.
Hadouken. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. So that they got all that going on.
Yeah.
Which is good. And then, should we just run down the list totally?
Yeah, run down the list.
So we got the workshops, and we have our building, the Picker Building, is having an open house on Saturday, May 21st. So that's not this Saturday, but next Saturday, the following Saturday.
So what is an open house?
It's sort of the same thing that we do during Art Walk, where it's just there's going to be a lot of artists in the studio on one specific day, which will be Saturday.
Yeah.
And then we'll just have the doors open and people can kind of come in. It's sort of like a mini Art Walk where we'll just be open. You can kind of come in, see what's going on, you know, catch up. I have a couple of people that come in every year just because they want to come in and say hi and catch up.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I think some of them like to know that I'm still here year after year. It's kind of reassuring.
Still kicking. They haven't gotten me yet.
Yeah, so it's usually pretty good. So it's going to be from 12 to 6 p.m. So it's not very long. It's about 5 or 6 hours.
It's manageable.
Yeah, and then we're gonna try to do like the headshot, the little social media portraits that we do for Art Walk, where just people come in and we'll take some pictures and.
I hope you put up some of the news stuff that's happened to you over the years, so just people can just be reminded about it.
Yeah,
your marketing's on my mind, so I keep thinking about these.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah.
So should be doing to
jumping all
get
over.
The word out. Says, oh yeah,
because I'm not the best when it comes
this.
To that.
And like, well, people are curious. It's not a matter of. It's not bragging that you're doing.
Right.
It's just like these are things that happen.
Should I?
People will ask you about it.
Do you think I should incorporate like a news or like updates page on my website or something?
You could. It's like it makes it more news. Work. I'm just thinking just in terms of this open studio, the open house that's coming up.
Yeah.
Because it gives you people to ask.
Oh, you
stuff
mean here in the studio?
Here in the studio.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe next week you can help me go through all that stuff and print a bunch of stuff.
Think
out.
About it like this: people are going to come in the studio. They're going to say, "Oh, photographer. I like your pictures. What else are they going to?" unless you're going and talking to them, and you're often talking with lots of other people. The past two art walks I've been at, people come in, they look around, and they don't see anything immediately to talk to, or they're maybe nervous about approaching you.
Right.
But if they look at something on the wall, say, "Oh, that's neat. I didn't know that."
Yeah.
Let me ask, what was it like to be in Popular Photography magazine? What was it like to be on Good Morning America? I heard about this. That creates a point of engagement, and they connect you with, this is a local guy that I'm standing on. And that creates like an opportunity.
Yeah.
That at least something to talk about.
Yeah.
So
you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's tomorrow? Yeah, maybe next week I can ask for your assistance.
Yeah, I'll just point at stuff.
And we do that. Do this. Do that.
What about this?
You do
what
that all that? The time anyway.
You did it? Yeah. I mean, what's the word for that?
Bossy?
I was going to say incorrigible, but I think bossy probably is more accurate. You should be doing this.
What are you not? Why are you not doing this? Yeah. It's so simple. You idiot.
Yeah. We should... You should spread some of that with the NHIA graduates are coming up. They probably could use a good dose of that.
Yeah, what's the weekend of the 22nd? So it's the same weekend of the open house.
Oh,
The New Hampshire Institute of Art, their graduation ceremony is that weekend. I think it's Sunday, the 22nd.
You know anyone who's graduating?
In fact, I do. Our good friend Michael Weinstein.
Oh, excellent.
Who this is actually the second time he's graduated from the school. He graduated once in 2000 and oh my gosh. Five, six, right around six. Then. Spent some time in
different degree now.
Yeah, yes. The first time it was, I think it was just more of a general degree, and then now they've had more of an illustration push. And he wanted illustration originally, but they didn't have enough for an illustration major.
Yes.
So he spent, I think he was only in it for a year this time. He came back for a year, but he like really crammed up on classes for that year.
Oh, good.
So now he's going to be, he has a general degree, and now he's also going to have a degree in illustration, which is very cool. And he's been doing some crazy, really nice work.
Yeah. He has a website up now too, right?
Yes. Yes.
So there's like a lot of new work on there.
He's got some of the new stuff he's been working on. Yeah. And it's different from what he's used to doing. He's used to doing sort of like comic-y kind of illustrative things with little characters. And this stuff is moving to a clearly more like graphic design sort of thing with multiple layers and textures, and it's really nice. It's really cool. Really nice.
Yeah.
Now
I miss art school. Being exposed to people doing different things, pushing the envelope in their own way.
So the gallery, they're showing all the graduate work, which is up that weekend. Skip for the month, but if you want to really sort of have an impactful viewing, go and see it when all the kids are graduating on Sunday. There'll be a lot of bodies moving around. So there's a lot of work that's going to be hanging up. I should go. Yeah, should come up. So that'll be kind of nice. So congratulations to Mike Weinstein.
Congratulations, Mike.
On your degree, your illustration degree.
Graduating. Really cool.
Yes. And we've been talking all day, really, basically, for the most part. Because we were on Mark Cookson's show just a little while ago today.
The Nashua Hour.
The Nashua Hour with Alderman Mark Cookson.
Always good to see him.
It is good.
He is so well-dressed all the time.
He's a little too... too fancy pants for me. Like I walk in and I'm like, oh man.
So I was like, okay.
Yeah, like he just pulled me out of the slums.
Yeah, I'm wearing my PAX t-shirt. I'm like 20 years too old to be wearing this t-shirt.
Yeah. So I like Mark. He's a good guy. He brought us on to talk about the open house for the building and to talk about the arts in general.
Yep.
And it was me and you and Marcus Scott, who co-owns the Chimera Gallery down on the third floor of the Picker Building. Mm-hmm. And he's been in here for a long time. I think he was here before I was.
Yeah, so he and his wife run it down there, and they specialize in...
I think they started as a photography gallery.
Yeah.
And since then, they've been doing more of everything. Like, they've been doing photography and painting and sculpture. And so the gallery has sort of expanded more than just being photography inclusive.
Yes, Nate.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was kind of good. It was good to see him. And so I like going on Mark's show. He's fun.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
I like watching how radio stations work.
Yeah, it is. I always look at the microphone arms. I go, oh, so that's what a microphone arm is supposed to look like.
Yeah, and I like watching, like, you know, like George, the guy behind the control box, and he's always like throwing his hands. He's like, you got 2 minutes, and then we're going to break. So I like that. It's kind
of
cool.
How do you like my hand throw at the beginning of the show?
Oh, is that what you did?
I pointed at you.
Because we hadn't discussed who was going to throw it out. So.
No, so we just handled it.
Yes, that was good until I was like, oh, what is it?
Well,
yes,
yeah,
and what else has been going on? Business awards.
All right.
That's it. So I did I had the opportunity to shoot a friend week before May 2nd. I don't know when it is. Recently, my friend Becky. And this was okay. So this is pretty cool. So this girl Becky Clunan, she does comic book art and stuff, and she. She went to the same high school I went to. She went to Merrimack High, but she graduated a few years after me. So uh-huh. I think she might have been an incoming freshman when I graduated. So she's about 31 or 32.
Okay.
And so the last time I saw Becky was in 1999, and her and a mutual friend were meeting us at another mutual friend's house, and we were all going to go see episode 1 together. So that's how long it was going. It was before the night we got to meet Jar Jar. And it was cool because she was going to school and she wanted to do animation. And so, like, it was cool because one of my group of friends growing up was like the comic nerds. So all the comic nerds were getting together. We were all going to go see Star Wars movies. And so Becky came, and we're all sitting around in my friend's apartment. And like, she just unloads this whole portfolio of like all this comic related stuff that she's been doing. It was a total nerd heaven. And so she actually had this little clip. She had a little animated clip. She had animated these two little super deformed Street Fighter characters. Like they were like little, you know, like Munchkin versions of Street Fighter characters.
Yeah.
And they were fighting. And I just remember, like, so you've got Becky and one, you know, here, and then you've got this whole room full of nerds, and you could just see, like, as soon as that started, like, the whole room just got quiet, and we were all just like, wow, it's like a girl that does Street Fighter animation. It was like, it was pretty cool. So, so she was doing that. And then I heard like little things over the last couple of years. Like, she was working with Ralph Bakshi for a while on an animated project that fell through. She did a little logo for the movie Super Troopers, the little monkey that's on the cover of this movie Super Troopers. She did the little logo as a little monkey holding a banana. And then she started getting like big time into the comic stuff. Like, she started doing, she got hired by DC. She was doing American Virgin by Vertigo Comics. Like, just like hardcore, like, oh my God, like she's worked for DC Comics stuff.
She must have really put the work in.
Yeah. And it's been cool because over the last, you know, like the last 10 years or something, like she is now becoming like a predominant in the field of females in comic books. So I follow her on Twitter, and she was coming back to visit her parents. She lives the next town over. So I just threw out a tweet, and I was like, hey, you know, if you're going to be in the area, why don't you come over and we'll hang out and we'll take some pictures and stuff. So she came over for afternoon, and we actually spent more time talking about comics and stuff like that, because it was so awesome. Yeah, like, she came in and I was just like, oh, tell me what's been going on and stuff. So she did an independent comic a while ago that got nominated for an Eisner Award.
Nice.
And she said, like, that's when everything changed. Like, the minute she did that, all of a sudden, like, all of a sudden DC was hiring her to do stuff.
Yeah.
So now she's been doing a lot of comics on the side. Unfortunately, she said that a lot of the whole comics industry, quote unquote, the industry, it's not paying a lot right now. Kind of sounds like photography.
Yeah.
And so she's been doing more illustrative stuff for commercial jobs. And she's like, that's what really pays the bills.
Yeah.
And this is giving her time to do her own personal stuff on the side. But she's still doing things like she did the second volume of Demo stories that her and this guy Brian Wood had done. And Vertigo just did the trade paperback of all that collective stuff. So she's still like doing residual things through Vertigo.
That's neat.
And it's awesome. And then she's also touring the world doing comic book conventions.
Uh-huh.
She just went up to Canada, and she's been doing it in England, and she went to Brazil, and she's like, just, it's crazy. And then she's going all over the United States.
That's great.
So it was very exciting. So we spent more time like just catching up and just listening to all these crazy stories about the comic industry.
and then
we took some shots outside of the building. We snuck down the alleyway, and I brought my scooter. I had my scooter that day, so we took some shots of her sitting on the scooter. And it was awesome. It was really good to catch up. And she's gonna, when she comes back in the fall to visit her family again, I think we're gonna get in here and do some headshots for her.
Nice.
Something a little more official.
Nice. What you were talking about earlier with her, like, you know, the comic book industry itself not paying a lot compared to the commercial work or that she does on the side.
Yeah.
Reminds me of what you're telling me about when that fashion photographer, you were hosting that workshop here.
Yeah. Simon Grisina.
Something similar, right?
Like, he said, all the big magazines that are out there, basically you're doing the magazines simply to get your name in them. Like, you're basically doing a free portfolio to be included in a magazine so that you can say you were published in, you know, W or Esquire or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he said, what really brings in the money is the simple catalog jobs, like, you know, the equivalent of a Sears catalog. Like, if you get a catalog gig, he's like, then that's where all the money is, because it's such a large, beefy thing. And there's so much product to photograph. He's like, so you spend all the, you know, you make all the money doing that. He said, usually with these big magazines, if they hire you for an editorial shoot, he goes, they're literally only paying you like $150 a page.
Wow.
So he's like, you eat the investment that you put into the shoot. So you're paying for all the production. You're eating all the production, but you're doing it because it's going to be published in L, or it's going to be published in, you know. So that was kind of fascinating, and it was just weird to hear, you know. He'd be like, look, you can do it, and the reason, and you want to do it, because then you want that, that's how you get your name out there in that particular genre of photography, is, you know, you do these magazines, and then people start to hire you for commercial stuff because you've done the stuff for all those weird.
Yeah, you've been kind of vetted by
the
standard bearers for a particular industry.
Yeah.
So, like, if you end up in Elle or Vogue or something like that, yeah, it counts for something. I mean, it's like some people with some very refined and, like, your connected tastes have approved you.
Yeah.
You've met a certain bar.
You are among our brethren.
But you're probably professional, too, because you don't want to mess something like that up. So it's kind of like going to a good school, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, being featured in like, one of those AAA magazines.
Yep. So it was kind of cool. And then she said, you know, like, you can, you know, unless you have a Superman title or a Batman title or a Wolverine title, where the money is, just like, it doesn't really pay per page very much. Mm. She likes it when they take her work and collect it, because she's done like two different demo series that are out. Vertigo has been printing the trade paperbacks of both of those, and she goes and she gets a residual cut of that every time they go to print.
Uh-huh.
She's like, so that's kind of nice, because she's already getting paid again for work that she had already been done in the past. So it's kind of cool. So we mostly the afternoon, we just sat around and talked. And then we did a shoot. So it was really cool. It was cool to sort of catch up with her and everything. And it's just kind of cool. It's just like, I mean, from my perspective, like when I was 12, that like I was just, that's the entire universe that I existed in was the comic book world. And just the idea. I mean, all my friends were like, we're going to be comic book artists when we grow up. You know, like my friend Ryan was like, I'm going to own a comics book store / pet store.
That's cool.
Like, what? And here's somebody that, you know, like when she was our age in our high school, she was like, you know what? I want to do comics. And she's freaking doing them. And she's not just like doing them. She's like, you know, she's totally like taking over as far as, you know, that particular genre of female comic book artists. And she's becoming one of the top names. It's like, nice. Oh my God.
So what books is she working on now?
She self-financed a independent, like little mini series, not a mini series, but it's like a one shot. It's 28 pages. It's gorgeous. It's called Wolves. And like this, it's offset printed and the cover was silk screened. And she did them in a series of 1,000. She did just 1,000 to see how they would sell. And she's been selling them she's been sending some to some of her artist friends. And then she just took 200 copies up to some convention that was up in Canada. And in 2 days she sold all 200 copies.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. And then she's got something else, but she hasn't announced it yet, but it's for a big publisher and she's very excited.
So she paid for her own printing.
She paid for her own printing and she was looking up, you know, like who does all the different types of printing and she knew she wanted to have a cover that was silk screened and
This reminds me of something I read on Boing Boing recently about there was some comic book that was very well received, critically acclaimed. But what people didn't realize is that they were paying for the printing all out of their own pocket. And I guess this was kind of a standard thing for people who are trying to get their work published.
Yeah.
I didn't look into it any deeper, but it's interesting to know that the kind of stuff is going on.
Yeah.
To get your work out there is, you know, it's going to cost you like a few thousand bucks to lay it down. Which jives with my experience doing offset printing of my own stuff. And I'm doing like as cheap as possible. If you're doing a book with each page different, you know, that's like, you know, that must get pretty pricey.
Yep.
Although I mean, the Lulu books, like they can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, so I think this is different quality.
Yeah.
Well, I brought it home, but I'll bring it in and show it to you. But it's really beautiful.
Yeah. So to fire up to do something cool. To be worthy.
You know, it's like we saw her. I saw her and she left and I was like exhausted because it's just like just completely living vicariously through her. It's like, oh my God, like I just took on the entire comic world, you know, through her in the last 10 years. Like, wow. Yeah. And then we went and saw Ben Slavin did a thing about his journey at one of the public libraries. He did like a slideshow presentation and talked about his stuff. And that was just awesome too. You know, it's just like, God, there's all these people that are doing this incredible, incredible stuff. It's hard not to be inspired by that. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's, you know, it's good to be around people that are constantly doing stuff and you're like, oh my God, like I want to do something that'll change something somewhere, some way, somehow down the line.
You gotta be around people who are doing it.
Right. So it did. It's sort of like I emailed somebody about a project that I'm hoping I can start this year, a personal photography project. So that'll be good. And Becky knows she's, you know, if I need a creative director, this is something that she's totally into. So she was like, I'll be right there if you need a creative director for this project. Cause I told her about it. She's like, oh my God.
That's great. Nice.
Yeah. But, so that's, I think that's everything on my list. Mark Cookson. So we got to get Mark Cook. Mark, if you're listening, we got to get you on the show. I know we got to get you on the show. We just need to line up a day.
Yep.
What's been going on in your universe?
What's been going on?
David Say.
Boring stuff.
Of DavidSay.com.
DavidSay.com is worried about marketing. And so, you know, I've come to the realization, I may have talked about this before, but I do actually have an artistic temperament and didn't really know this because the stuff that I do is like computer technical stuff.
Right.
But the reason why I do it is because of these artistic notions. Like it should be like this or like that. It should have these kind of feelings for it. It's not so much of like the function must be like this and it's, but you know, I mean function is as part of it, but the reason why I'm doing it is there's certain meanings I'm trying to extract from them or whatever.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just lazy. It's hard to tell the difference. The distinction is very fine. But anyway, I make all these things it'll make sense if I describe one of the recent challenges.
Break it down.
So like I make those productivity forms, but I've never really figured out a way to describe them in which I didn't feel like I was you know, spewing like marketing stuff that seemed a little bit false or fake.
Yeah,
it didn't seem authentic. And partly this was because, although these were designed for me to be useful, I wasn't sure if everyone else was getting the same utility out of it. Therefore, I didn't feel I could claim, like, this thing will change your life. This thing will, like, help you be more organized. This thing will bust clutter. I didn't seem like I could make that claim. I was just presenting them the way on my website and writing about them. Well, I write a little story behind it.
Yep.
And it says, well, I came up with this because I was trying to face this, and here's some of the ideas behind it, and why don't you try it out and see? And when I think about that, that kind of is like one way an artist might present their work. They're not saying, this art means this. They're saying, like, engage with it, and maybe you'll get something from it.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me if you do.
Right.
Which is kind of the way they've been releasing these things. And a few people have been, like, telling me. I wrote this blog post about it recently. And saying, like, you actually do have a good start with the marketing by having a good product. And then they would ask me, don't I see this? But, you know, it's hard for me to see
right.
It. It's hard for me to think about, like, whether or not it's having a particular impact on someone.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized, like, well, maybe if I just described what it was supposed to do, what it's designed to do, and just speak in very, very plain terms, this is designed to organize your time so you waste less of it or something like that. So I've been working on that. And it's been this kind of arduous relearning process, because I keep thinking that I'm supposed to know how marketing works because I've been working in this media for like a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I should know better by now. But it's a lot different when you're working on your own stuff. It's a lot different when you're trying to, I guess, you really kind of take a stand. That's kind of what it feels like
yeah.
to me. If I'm going to market what I'm doing, I am saying I am doing this. I'm pointing to the wall. And I'm saying I'm hitting it out here this far.
Yeah,
and it's going to score these points. So you know, coming to terms with that, it has been kind of a struggle, and I think it's one that a lot of artists face.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my painting. Here's my my jewelry design. Here's my sculpture.
Yeah,
how do you communicate? How do you how do you move that from your studio into the world where it can make an impact or it can bring in some kind of revenue? And
right.
then how do you do that in such a way that you're not somehow undercutting the important personal part of it to you? And it's hard to let go of this stuff. And
yep.
I realize, like, with my farms, I didn't want them to be used for evil by management. Like, oh, I see you haven't checked off these 5 bubbles in the past. That means you're 6 bubbles down from last week. We're going to have to dock your pay for that. Don't let that happen. I didn't want that to happen. I wrote this is not for evil people. But, so it's interesting. I'm still not quite sure. Yeah, what is it all about?
Yeah.
And what else did I have going on? That's kind of the main thing, I suppose. Learning how to talk about myself.
That's always hard.
Another side thing is I'm looking for programmers. I want to do some more game development type stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, kind of on a hobby level. So I've been, getting back into getting all my development environments up. So if there's anyone out there who does any C# programming, Direct3D programming, just interested in that stuff, I'd love to talk to people who are doing the 3D art side of things, want to figure out the workflow.
Like a spaceship game?
Yeah, I would be happy if I could just get a spaceship on the screen.
Like Star Control 3?
Yeah, it feels a big triangle with a window in it that glistened. I would be really happy. And if it shot like bolts of lasers, that would be super cool. It's amazing what you can do today with graphics. I was just looking at my old Apple II stuff.
Yeah.
When the whole system had about 16K worth of usable
memory. Yeah.
Invisible GIF files have more space than that now.
I never really got into. I remember playing Star Control a lot, which was a cool little spaceship game.
Yeah, 1990.
And then I remember when everybody was saying X-Wing versus TIE Fighter was really popular.
That was hot.
And I never really got into that. But what I did get into on the PlayStation was the first Colony Wars game.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really well done.
I still have that. I remember that. That's a beautiful game.
Yeah, I thought that was really done. It had that guy that had the fake, the weak James Earl Jones impersonator. Like they wanted James Earl Jones, but they couldn't get him, so they tried to get the guy that sounded most like him.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But cool.
Well, I guess we've burned another 30 minutes.
Look at that. A little 30 minutes have gone just like that. Poof. So, check out the show notes for all the cool stuff that we talked about. Click on the links. Go visit the sites. And you know, go visit some of the places. Come to the open house. Go see the graduates at NHIA. And I guess that'll do it for this week.
I guess so.
Yeah. So until next time, this is photographer Sid Caesar.
And this is designer Dave Say.
And we shall see you all later. Yeah. Special thanks to Michael Ballard and the As Is Ensemble for the intro and outro music. MichaelBallard.com. Give him your love. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nice.